Hello. Sorry. I'm Effie, and I'm an SRE in Athens. And I have worked in small organizations and startups for a number of years. And I'm very interested how those environments can become better in tech and non-tech aspects. I really want to do this talk because I was in a very toxic environment a few years ago, and coming to SREcon 2015 kind of made it obvious. So, by small organizations, I mean companies with a single systems team, systems, SRE, ops, whatever, or a solo systems engineer. Small-scale environments might not sound as fancy and exciting as large ones, but they're interesting, and one has a lot to learn. They are more intimate, more personal, they have fewer safety nets, and what I want to say here is going to be something like a survival guide for technical debt in those environments. And some of my NDAs have expired, so I can say a few stories as well. So, generally speaking, what is causing technical debt in small scale? Trying to identify the reasons behind it, it's a good place to start towards taming it. Beginning with, the list is not complete, of course. Beginning with lack of experience processes, it is quite normal when a few dozens of people are running a product. Every problem, an issue, is solved in an ad hoc manner. Sorry. Moreover, they tend to solve the same problem over and over and over again because they didn't know better at the time. New and immature technologies are quickly adopted under the false assumption that they will be the answers to all our prayers. Without sometimes having the appropriate technical experience or background. And somewhere along the way, requirements changed, new tech became less useful or unmaintainable or ceased to exist. And a good example here is FoundationDB. FoundationDB stopped releasing updates and software downloads and a little bit after its acquisition by Apple. Now it's open source, but I don't think anyone's going to go for it again. I believe we all know how much debt overestimation and lack of time is causing. I won't say much on this, but we need to stop believing that delivering something super fast is going to make us look good. We have done many times promising something will be ready in 2 days, and end of day three, we're applying duct tape and WD-40 all over the place. But also, not delivering on time might become part of the culture. So, going down the rabbit hole, there are not many differences what generates technical debt in startups and small orgs, but there are a few. Startups are focused on moving their product forward fast and picturing how their systems might look in a year from now, it's not usually part of their plans. There is a culture of short-term planning, but they're always really happy to tell you about the new features. Solving problems in an ad hoc way and forgetting about them is also very common. Early adopters, I think we covered. And of course, there are no standardized processes. And it's frankly impossible to document something that it's not there or no one remembers how it works. And boundaries have not been set because people are still wearing quite many hats. And lastly, backups are strapped on unicorns. And I don't want to sound all negative, but because those things are quite normal, I don't think that a startup needs a systems person from day one. And so everyone is doing the best they can to their best knowledge. It's stuck. No spoiler. So, not startups. long existing orgs, that they are small as well, suffer in a slightly different way. The story usually goes like this. At some point, someone created an infrastructure, and the main part of it, and wrote some documentation, put some backup processes in place, and then they left. And then someone else came, applied a bit of duct tape, maybe changed a few things, and then they left again. And then someone else came, and it goes over and over again. And now the organization is waiting for a hero to save them. But while this coming and going was happening, the company has become a bit bigger, or the product, the dev team has changed, and everyone is used to ignoring the systems team that it's not always there, and it's kind of logical. One last thing is that while everything is going on, we have the don't touch this system. There are those systems services that have been running for years somewhere, but no one knows how they work or to maintain them, but they're just there. Let's imagine for a moment that we have just joined an organization as a member of the team or the only member of the team, of a new team, and we have to understand that no one knows us there and we don't know them. So it's going to take some time for them to trust us and vice versa. We are required to run an unknown infrastructure we have never seen before, and we don't know where all the information is, and of course we're completely in the dark about what's coming up. And there are five stages of grief, technical debt. The first is denial, is when we join the organization and we find a product that looks functional, we found systems that look operational, and all we have to do is just grab the handles and keep this going and maybe make it a bit better. While we are in denial, we begin to get interrupted about problems that pop out of nowhere and we have no idea how to solve. And that's where we realize that we are probably oblivious about what's actually going on. The bargaining stage is when we believe that we must gain control because we're good at our jobs and we can do it. And while we are running around raiding people's desks for information, the fog is getting clearer, and we find out that the foundation is rotten and the work that needs to be done is massive. If we are lucky, we're going to move to acceptance. And this is when we can see some light at the end of the tunnel. We have some sort of a plan to go on. And of course, we are usually stuck between stages 2 and 4 or 2 and 5. So before getting all desperate about this, let's stop for a bit. Take a breath and drink and everything. Start talking to people and try to ask the right questions. When you ask the dev team what they need, they might say we need a staging environment, we need to deploy to multiple staging environments, and they will not mention that their workers die every 3 days. So you have to find where is the duct tape. There might even be a backlog if you're really lucky. You can read it, find what is valid and what is not, and create a dashboard of tasks and start putting things in it based on the information that keeps incoming. You will feel really relieved when you have a full visual representation of the debt or the work that needs to be done in the future. And this is where you might get to acceptance. And you can start prioritizing now based on talking with your colleagues. And by all means, if you are to introduce new tech, new tools, try to be a bit conservative. Use things you know well first and then move to experimenting. By all means, put bi-weekly or weekly meetings in place and don't skip them. Because we tend to just do, and never stop and look back and sync with each other, and we forget how much important it is to spend time with each other to discuss our plans for the future, the process we're going to follow. And because if we're not do that, we will just introduce more entropy to the system. It would be ideal if we could meet with other dev teams or the dev team as well every now and then, because in small environments is very vital for the dev team and the ops team to be in the same page, and building healthy relationships will avoid a little pain in the future. The goal is to first slow down its generation and then maybe find how to manage it. We can start with repetitive tasks. Small orgs are focused on moving forward, as we said. So it's not that common to have procedures that they're buggy, lengthy, manual, and automating them it's not going to make the product better, so we just hit snooze and move on. But you can fix them. You have some experience and you can fix them and give them the gift of time. But remember, moreover, we should be aware of what is doable and what is not, given a specific time frame. I was in a team where almost all of us were new, and we kept promising that within the next 3 months, we would migrate a medium-sized unknown infrastructure from bare metal to virtual machines, from one data center to the other, while we were migrating from Chef to Salt. And of course, this didn't happen, and then we promised the same thing again, and again and again, and it never happened. So I believe you can split your system's timeline between two eras, the one before you arrived and the one after you arrived. And you're not responsible about what happened before, but you can keep track of what is going on afterwards. So keep up with your surroundings and talk. Unfortunately, this can be harder than it sounds sometimes, because breaking the bad habit of people ignoring the ops team is really hard. And I used ignoring because sometimes the dev team has really good reasons ignoring the ops team. And lastly, be consistent. You will never fully pay this debt, no one will, but we can pinpoint its generators, apply rules, follow them, and just keep everything the same page, even if there are problems like too many people having root and causing issues, or developers deploying on a Friday night. So, how debt kills a team? It's very easy. A massive amount of debt can kill it, and it can increase its turnover. First in the list is our favorite burnout, where we believe that if we work more, we are going to produce more. And moving on to blame game, toxicity, and tension, because they all go together. This is when we are stuck in loops loops 2, 3, and 4, anger, bargaining, and depression. And it's when we realize we are fighting a linear hydra and we are running into the same issues all the time and solving them again and again, and we give up at some point and we stop. And we stop caring about the quality of our work, about our organization, about our colleagues, and about being nice to people. We just stop caring. And my personal favorite are martyrs and messiahs, which are produced in those environments. I won't stand here for a bit. I don't remember the story very accurately, but my team was running a 3-node Percona 3 Galera something cluster on cheap bare metal. The data in the database was about 600 gigabytes or something, with something that looked like a backup process. None of the members of the team, including me, were not very experienced with databases, but we were kind of managing it. During a rolling schema migration, we hit a bug that was documented, where one of the nodes might decide to drop all its data and sync again. So nevertheless, we kept doing rolling migrations, hoping we will not hit the bug again. And one day, when half of the team was in summer vacation, the other half performed a rolling migration. So node 1 dropped its data and started resyncing. And then node 2 did the same thing. So what was left was one node in production and 2 nodes syncing from it. The team decided to stop production, migrate to Percona 5.6, which was not very tested. We tested it like a tiny bit. And you know what's the best part? It worked. And you can imagine what happened afterwards. Everyone was a hero. We were an amazing team that can walk on water. Sadly, and it was no different than not wearing a seatbelt and thinking you're doing great because you're still in one piece. So creating a culture that is not generating a lot of debt. So guide your processes. Someone sometimes might have to be the bad person that is telling people off for not following the processes we have all agreed on. And invest in junior engineers if you have time and money, because they don't have bad habits and you can make them have good habits. The internet is full of good practices. Sorry. Find the ones that apply in your organization and use them. Remember to make mistakes, and it's human, and that's how we learn. And there's no shame in asking, in terms that if there is such a thing as team player, asking questions is being a good team player. And finally, not being a dick can go a really long way. Takeaways. So technical depth in small environments really sucks, because because the team becomes like a funnel of all the problems of the organization. Remember to ask the right questions, and do not have the wrong illusion that your task board will empty. And it's good to identify the debt that kills you and wakes you up at night or can kill the organization, and the debt that is just a burden. Our systems will never be perfect, but we can make them manageable. So, TLDR. We discussed how those environments get here. We went through the stages. I think I stressed enough how important it is to ask the right questions. Documented the problems will give us a visual view of what's coming. And trying not to kill our team in the meantime is really good. And just being ourselves and being nice and not being a dick can create a really good, a culture that will last. And that'll be all.
Questions?
Hi, you mentioned martyrs and messiahs. Do you have any thoughts on how to deal with when you have someone who is toxic on the team?
Yeah, you suck them. It's unfortunate, but in small teams, when you have one toxic person, is enough to take down the whole team. And sometimes it's like a disease, so if you had one, they might become two. And then it spreads around. I have an experience, so I really talk out of experience.
How do you get rid of them?
Sorry?
How do you get rid of them?
No, I left. At some point, when you try to change, you do whatever you can to change things, but sometimes things can go to a point of no return, and you can accept defeat and give up. Unfortunately, but what else can you do? And we work on IT, so it's easy for us to get other jobs.